So we're in Psalm 119. Started it last week. Covered two of the letters. There's 22 letters, 22 paragraphs in Psalm 119. One paragraph for each letter of the Hebrew alphabet, each of the 22 letters. It starts out kind of like our alphabet with A and B, Aleph and Beth. In fact, that's the Aleph Beth. Kind of sounds like our alphabet. But then from there, it kind of goes all over the place. So we'll probably get lost if we're trying to follow it or compare it to our own alphabet after this point. But at least it starts out that way and gives us the idea that our language kind of is derived some way, related at some point to this language. With these two letters, the Aleph and Beth, the A and a B in the Hebrew language, we can build our first word. And quite often is the first word of a child, Abba. Abba. Anybody know what that means in the Hebrew?
Papa.
Papa, daddy. It's a term of endearment. A little different than, you know, father. It's dear daddy. You know, it's the daddy term, the endearing term. So Jesus would use that word when he was talking to the Father in heaven, addressing him as Abba, Father, dear daddy. There we go. We're already learning Hebrew. We built a word. We've got two letters down. Today we're going to move through several letters of the alphabet, or the Aleph Beth. The next one is Gimel, which has the G sound. So A, B, G, we're already off track with the English alphabet. So just bear with that and try to learn some things. We'll touch base on some of these words and get a kind of an introduction to a different language. Gimel is the G word. All of these eight verses under Gimel would begin with a G word. You won't see that in your Bible because it's been translated over to English and it's all over the place. And Hebrew starts from the end and reads right to left. And so you're just not going to see that in your Bible. So don't try to make it happen there. But I'll pull one word out and give it to you. And that's the word give. That's the word give, and that's that first word that you do see in verse 17. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. So that G word is give unto me. Deal bountifully, so it's give something favorably to me. Open thou my eyes, that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaks for the longing that it has unto thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt or hatred, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate on thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delights and my counselors. So in this idea of asking God, God, deal gracefully with me, that idea of grace as well as receiving from God, God giving to us something in bounty here. Deal bountifully with me. What are the things that might come to mind when you hear that? What do you think, Isaac? He's raising his hand. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I might live and keep thy word. What are some of the things that you might want to receive from the Lord? You don't have to put your super spiritual hats on. You could, you know, say something.
Joy.
Say whatever's on your mind. Joy is good, obviously. Thank you.
Love.
Love. Grace.
Any of the
gifts of the Spirit. Gifts of the Spirit. No one's brave enough to ask for something carnally, like a pile of cash or something? No one's ever prayed for that? God, I need money? So when God is dealing bountifully with you, what do you think of? When somebody says, oh, I'm blessed, or somebody, you tell somebody, well, you got blessed, what are some of the things that come to your mind?
Healings.
Healing? Yeah. Healings, okay. Mm-hmm. You've been blessed, got delivered from some kind of ailment. Got blessed with a house. You're in a new house. Okay. You probably heard that recently.
Children. Grandchildren.
Blessed with children. Okay. A son or daughter coming to your sphere of influence there, a granddaughter, a grandson?
God.
God himself. God's presence. Be with me, God. Parking spot. Thank you for blessing me with a parking space. The breath in our lungs. God has blessed me. You've heard people say that. What are they referring to? Let's take it from now your own person into what, when you hear people say that, what are they referring to? Now you might can be a little more brave with your answer.
Materialistic possessions.
All right, we're getting there. Amen. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I might live and keep thy word. So, you know, we brought that into our own experience. But in this case, in the psalm, the prayer is that I might live even, that I might be revived. I'm in a pit. I'm in some type of situation in trouble. And we're going to go all the way through possibly to Yod letter today and see that this actual request from God is the affliction itself. The gift from God is the affliction itself. So this is something you may have never heard before, especially from people in the Christian community tell you, I've been blessed, and they're talking about some type of affliction, some type of pain in their life, some type of difficulty and challenge. I don't think it's come out of my mouth, so I won't be Mr. Super Spiritual up here, but in this case, this is what's happening. We'll come to that place when we land there, but just to let you know the full picture today. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I might live and keep thy word. We've talked about breaking Psalm 119 in two places in order to have balance. And Psalm 119 is balanced in this way that it's the Word of God in the God of the Word. Nate talked about God himself being a gift, and that would be on that right side of the page if you were to make columns. The Word of God being very significant, we're very familiar with that. We do Bible studies. We have Bible verses, we post them on Facebook. We're very familiar with the Word of God. The God of the Word is what we hope is the result of the Word of God being declared. The God of the Word being manifest in His Word. We know that the Word of God can be abused. And the perfect example of that was Satan himself with Jesus Christ, the Word of God, in the temptation in the desert, going through physically tempting Jesus with bread, didn't work, going through tempting the emotions of Jesus with the glory of man, and finally to have him to cast himself down and attempt God that way with the Word of God misused. The Word of God not coming from the God of the Word, but the Word of God coming from Satan. Really strange. But it's important, if anything you get from that, is that, wait a minute, the Word of God needs to be balanced with the God of the Word. I need to be hearing from the living God himself. When I open the Bible, it's an experience with God. It's a time to hear from God. It's not a time to, you know, get something out of here so I can go beat up my wife with it, or, you know, and set her in the corner with it, or manipulate other people in my life. It isn't a time for me to get schooled. And I was here last night in prayer, and it's kind of embarrassing, and up here getting a butt whooping, you know, getting spanked by God. How would you like that? You know, the pastor of a church, and God's just whooping the pastor up, and pulling his pants down and whooping his butt, you know. How would you like that? But that's what it felt like last night. It was just like Ezekiel 34 came out, you know, and it was just like, man, Paul, you got to get moving. You got to really get moving, and you need to feed the sheep. Just as Jesus told Peter, feed my sheep 3 times. Feed my sheep, feed my sheep. Ezekiel 34 is the same thing. It's like, my sheep aren't being fed. Who's going after that one that took off? Who's going after them? Where's the shepherds? God is saying, what's going on with you guys? So that, you know, that was a good spanking time, but you know, that's been coming, and he's been stirring in my heart for that for several days, and it kind of culminated in that experience last night. That's the God of the Word and the Word of God coming together in balance. I want to hear from Him. And sometimes it's an affliction. It's a corrective. And that's because God loves us, it says in Hebrews 12. If He didn't, you'd be a bastard. Okay, that's the word that's used in Hebrews 12. That's a child without a parent. There is no relationship there. Quite often it is corrective, and that's God loving you. It's God loving you. So this dealing bountifully with me can be painful, can be affliction. And that's the case, anyway, where we are in Psalm 119. In this balance of the Word of God and the God of the Word, we're going to make it a little more specific today. On the left side of the page under Word of God, if you're making two columns, you'll hear things like the law, you'll hear things like we just did, the Word, you'll hear things about commandments and testimonies. Just in these first eight verses, statutes, they're all left side things having to do with that written word, the testimonies of God. And so under that, we're going to put the requirements of God. Two R words today to help us remember in our teaching today. Two R words on the left side under the Word of God would be those requirements of God. Those are the boundaries, what God requires. And the God of the Word, those are non-negotiables. Okay, we always think that, you know, God puts up a law, or somebody puts up a law, and we think, well, we're the exception. This came up recently, and you know, it was like there was an event going on, and they said nobody under a certain age, and then Gretchen was like, well, maybe they can make an exception. There's rules and stuff. There's boundaries given, but anytime there's one put up, what do we try to do, right? It's like, well, I'm the exception, right? God to this? Of course I am, right? That must be for everybody else, and I'm the exception. You know, divorce is for everybody else. The rules about divorce is for everybody else, but I'm the exception. I'm the exception, okay? You know, that's what we do with God. So there's requirements. There's the righteous requirements having to do with the Word of God, the laws of God, and the commandments. They're boundaries. They're non-negotiables with God. And then you have the God of the Word that reveals these things to us. And it's in that revelation that the Word becomes alive to us. You see, the affliction is the rototiller that allows that Word to sink in deeper. So it's not just up here and you have this superficial head knowledge and you're puffed up in pride and you've got all these Bible verses for everybody. But we need this affliction. We need to go through the experience while we're on this earth of the rototiller. We need the Word of God to be able to get down deeper. It is a painful experience quite often to break up that hard soil, to allow the soil of your heart to be broken up so that word can be received. Quite often in the affliction, you don't have time to open up your Bible. You're just going through it. You don't have time for that type of preparation. That's why we're here today. That's why we meet on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. That's why we meet together, get into the Word of God. Isaiah 55 talks about the Word of God this way. It talks about rain that's feeding the grass. That's an immediate thing happening. Also talks about the Word of God as snow in the same verse. What does snow do? It waits for the melting, right? And it could be that that's what we're doing right now. We're getting ready to receive the Word for right now or for whenever. Whether it's rain right now or it's snow, it's going to come into your life and be effective. It's a living Word. So two R words today to go under the left and the right, under the Word of God and the God of the Word, requirement being on the left and on the right, revival. The first verse that we talked about today is that I might live. That's the idea that I'm being revived. You'll see that all through these passages. Revival. Revelation. Hearing God speak to you in that moment. It becomes life to you. It's life-giving. It's a living Word. So you have the requirement. You have revival. You have life. Two R words today. Let's continue with the next letter. D. A, B, G, D, of course. In the Hebrew. Daleth is the pronunciation of that letter. My soul cleaves unto the dust. This guy sounds like he's doing good here. Is your soul ever cleaved unto the dust? Quicken, that's that word there. Thou me according to thy word. That's that revival word, revive. And that will be our desire as we go through this, is that we are revived in God, that we come alive in his word. So I talked to Gretchen last night, getting testimonies from her, and I would welcome them this morning as well, about times where God's word became alive to you in a real way. And you know what this means, this revived. Lord, my soul was cleaving, it was holding on to dust. You quickened me according to thy word. The D word here, the Daleth word, is according to thy word, and that's all through there. It's 800 times in the Old Testament. According to thy word, Dabor. It is the D sound. So we just talked about give, the Gamal word, the grace of God, asking something from God, and now the D word, which is according to thy word, your word, God. The revealed word of God. It's the utterance of God speaking to you. The speech of God. Conversation of God. An answer. A specific answer to something you've been waiting to hear from. Isn't it wonderful when you hear that answer from God and you know it's on? I have declared my ways, verse 26 says, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so I shall talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melts for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. There's that Daleth again. According to thy word, strengthen me. According to thy word, revive me, Lord God. You feel dead. You feel like you've been going through the motions. God, revive me. I know there's more to it, to life than this. This mundane, whatever it is that I'm feeling right now. Lord, revive me right now. I need to hear your voice. And it is the very words of God from his mouth unto your ears and to your heart that revives you. Jesus said it's not the physical things that are going to revive you. You're a creature that actually needs to hear the utterances of God into your heart. That's how you're sustained. That's how you're lived. Otherwise, you're going to feel like junk. You're going to feel like this clinging to the dust. You're going to feel heavy. You're going to have this disconnectedness happening in your life. You need to live off the very utterances of God, the Dabar. Remove from me the way of lying and grant me thy law graciously. How many kids have you had to teach how to lie? If you're honest yourself, it's probably zero. To teach them not to lie. That's part of our sin nature, is to lie in its many various forms of deceiving people, and deception. And in fact, just bold-faced lies are kind of rare for anybody. It's usually the twisting of truth is what we do, and that's right in the camp of Satan. Well, I didn't do a bold-faced lie. It was kind of mixed. Well, that's exactly what the devil does all the time. That's how he stumbled the human race, was a mixture of truth and lie. You know the rat poison thing, right? You've heard of that a million times before. The rat poison is 99.999% healthy things. Corn, rice, or whatever it is they put in there, grains, all that. And then there's the arsenic. You know, that's the part that kills. And it's the part that's not true that kills. The 99.99% does not cover that poison. So that's the deception, is we think, well, it was mostly true. Be fully, brutally honest. Be honest. I have chosen the way of truth. And this is the prayer. God, grant me thy law graciously. God, help me in this. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. That is a path, isn't it? The fork is often in the road. I can go down this road of deception, or I can go down the road of being honest with this person. being honest with God, being honest with myself. I've chosen that way of honesty. And that cost might be heavy down that road. You maybe can't see the end of that road. Like, what is if I'm going to be honest? What if I tell the truth? What's going to happen? Fear starts happening, and you stop at that fork. And that's when the temptation comes and the tempter comes. Go ahead and tell him a little bit. Twist it a little bit this way. He's whispering in your ear. And you're down the wrong road. You rationalize it, and you're on the wrong journey. Honesty. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord. Put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. All right, give you a visual, a terrible one. But the Grinch, when his heart grew, you remember that? I think it's important for teaching to kind of give visual aids to help. But that there was a part during that silly cartoon where his heart grew really big. Somebody that was miserable. What was wrong with him? His heart was too small. Okay, that's what's being asked here. So I don't want to miss that without giving a good visual and understanding that in our sin nature, we do a multitude of evil things. But when you really look at it, it's a heart that's not able to love. It doesn't have the capacity. It's like a thimble. And God's love is like a lake, Wasco Lake, Cayuga Lake, Seneca Lake. It's, you know, compared to the thimble of your heart. We fall short. We fall short of the glory of God. We don't have the capacity to love. We try to with this little thimble, you know, and it runs out really quick after a few minutes or whatever. It's very limited. So what happens when we receive Christ or receive something that it matches the size of God's love, which really is infinite. The lake is just a simple example, but it doesn't do justice to the size of God's love. Who can measure it, it says in Romans, the length and the width and the breadth of it. Who can measure it? Who can measure God's love? Here's a measuring stick. I got a measuring stick for it. Do you want to see it? You want to see the measuring stick of God's love? Let's see how you measure up. Right here. So you measure up. You go around and measure everybody up. See how you do. The cross. The cross is that measuring stick showing God's love, that he gave his life. There was no other way to demonstrate that. Would a Wasco Lake do justice if he gives you some untie? Hey, God's love is like a Wasco Lake, man. It's that big. It's big as the universe. No. Nope. It had to be measured by a giving of his life to become flesh, to come down from heaven. All of that, the birth of Christ, his perfect life, his death, all of that would be the measurement of God's love. And that is the measuring stick in our life. Our heart cannot do this. Our heart can't do that type of love. We fall short of the glory of God. Sin has corrupted our hearts, and that corruption is a shrinking down to this minuscule, tiny little heart. And when you receive the gospel, the love of God, what happens is whoosh. The love of God, it says in Romans 5:5, is shed abroad in your heart. There's an expansion that's happening. Now you're able to love even your enemy. You're able to love even your enemy. Things that were impossible are now possible. All things are possible with God. What is he talking about? You're able to love like you never were before. You're able to love. Enlarge my heart, it says there. We'll continue to, the next letter, H. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. We opened up today with that idea, with this verse, with this truth, that it's a commitment unto the end. I tried, Jesus, you've heard this before, and it's a painful thing to hear. I tried, Jesus, but, well, their trial of Jesus, they were still on the throne, typically when somebody gives you that. They're still on the throne in their life, and they tried Jesus just like they were going to try, you know, a different pair of shoes or something in their life. It wasn't a dethroning process. Did you get off the throne of your life? Did you allow Jesus to be your Lord? Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. No matter what's on that road. I was talking to somebody yesterday about this. There's a point A in your life where you're at right now and a point B in your life. And we can't see point B and we can't see all the things on that way. When Jesus said, come follow me, you'll notice with the disciples, he didn't say, well, this is going to happen, and that's going to happen. He didn't lay out the whole map and give them a 3D Google map of what's going to happen in their life. You follow Jesus every step and every day is its life in its own. That's how Jesus wants you to live. You start looking 2 years down the road, or you know this is going to happen and that can happen, you get some kind of crystal ball kind of thing happening. That's not the way of God. You'll just say, forget it. I'm going to either circumvent that and you'll be on your own path. Unto the end, a commitment unto God. When you commit unto Jesus Christ, it is an eternal commitment from both ends. God's commitment to you and your commitment to him is an eternal one. Isn't try Jesus and see how it goes. Give me understanding and I shall keep thy law. Yes, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. This gives the idea that something that's a requirement is to be something that delights us, and that speaks more to revival than requirement. His law, his word, this thing that's better than bread, that's better than emotional delight, is our very life. It revives us. We're designed to live off of it. A relationship with God, him speaking to us. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me, Jesus would say. Makes it very simple, doesn't it? You break that down, it's very beautiful as well. A shepherd and the sheep. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not unto covetousness. So two things mentioned today so far, lying, now covetousness. Having that thing in your heart where you're jealous, you're desiring something that you don't have. We're very familiar with that in our culture. You can't turn on anything, even on your cell phones or the internet, anything. The applications we have, there's commercials coming up all the time. They're designed to make you covet. Don't be surprised, because the guy that's making the commercial wants you to buy it. He wants to create this need that because you don't have that, you are less than a human being. You are less than you could be. Get this product, and you know how it is. It creates covetousness. So this is a difficult one for our culture, our commercial culture. This very much relies on covetousness in order for businesses to thrive. It's kind of tough. Truth and reality that we live in. So beware of that, be leery of that. We talked about contentment. The Holy Spirit was moving upon the bride today, and the word was contentment. And we talked about the things to be content with. The Spirit of God and the fruit of the Spirit being mentioned. Hope was mentioned. Turn away my eyes from behold vanity. Nobody asked for affliction, though, I noticed. Neither did I. Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in the way. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. The fear of God is healthy for us. It's a fear of God that's healthy, because we know that God, no matter what he allows in our life, that he calls into our life, is good for us. That he's a loving God, that he does things perfectly. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Make me alive. Revive me. The idea of revival. Requirement, the word, now revival. Lord, let me live. Lord, isn't it wonderful? Isn't it exciting when God revives you in that moment, in that trial, in the day, in the ho-hum, the mundaneness of life? God revives you, quickens you. All of a sudden, you are excited to live. You're ready to conquer the mountains and Goliaths that are in front of you. The next letter, V, or W sometimes. That's how it's handled in the Hebrew. Vav. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproaches me, for I trust in thy word. I delight in thy word. I trust in thy word. I observe your word with my whole heart. Take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. There's that commitment again. Until the end, what does that mean? Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. There's something healing just in that commitment. Folks, you'll find this with marriage. You'll find this in your relationship with God. If commitment isn't part of it, you'll find yourself to be restless, that God is always on trial. Well, I'm following God. You might not think that literally. You might not verbalize it with your words. That's why it's important to put Satan in the corner, to punch him and knock him out with this idea. It's forever and ever, I'm going to follow you, God. It's unto the end of this life and beyond. Gretchen, it's forever and ever until death do us part. That's the commitment there. It's to the end. There's something healing in that. There's something like, this is where I am. This is who I am. I'm not, you know, like, well, maybe if, you know, somebody comes up to me and tells me something, then I'll change my faith a little bit. I'll adjust this or adjust that, you know, based on what I find out. No, it's settled. I am following the Lord. That's who I am. There's healing that comes with that. There's strength that comes with that. Your relationship comes alive in that. It's no longer a conditional relationship. Well, I'll give it a year and a half, or I'll give it 3 months, or I'll give it 3 minutes. There's none of that nonsense. That's the American baloney. It's deception. It's a cultural infusion. It's been attacked in our culture and our people. We're conditional. Everything's conditional and temporary. The Bible describes it as apostasy. There's the shrinking away. You'll see that coming to pass where people shrink away because iniquity abounding. We only can go so far. And then we say, I'm done with the Lord. And they shrink back. It's called apostasy. There's a good word for it. Because it just got too hard. Iniquity abounding. You know, I'm done. And shrinking back. What are they going to shrink back to? Maybe not in a closet in darkness or totally refusing God, but shrinking back onto the novelties that we have today. Social media. That will be the future church in America. How do you like that for a prophetic word this morning? There'll be a falling away of people gathering, and it'll be retreating back into something of that nature. That's apostasy. I definitely encourage using that tool to reach people, though. I don't encourage using that tool to be your church, though. That's apostasy. Forever and ever, I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts of freedom in God. It seems like a narrow way, and it is. But that narrow way is like the birth canal of a child coming out to a place of freedom, a new world. In the kingdom of God, it is about liberty. You're in a place of freedom. You're in an enlarged place. Your heart is enlarged to be able to love. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. You will talk to your bosses. You will talk to co-workers. You won't be ashamed of the name of Jesus Christ. I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. He's loved his commandments. He's observed his commandments. He's trusted in the commandments of God. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved. I will meditate in thy statutes. Have you ever done that? We've brought this up before in Psalms. Have you ever prayed with your hands raised? Well, no, I just sang. Well, you don't have to be like that. You could pray with your hands raised. You can read the Bible with your hands raised because you're reaching to heaven. You're asking to hear from God. You're at liberty to do these things, to love on God in such ways. Remember the word It says, this new word, the new letter here is Z. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction. For thy word has quickened me. In my affliction, thy word has brought me into life. In pain, I've become alive. Now it should make sense when you hear somebody. This isn't just some crazy preacher up here. It should make sense to you when you hear someone tell you, and I've heard this before, maybe you have, I thank God for this cancer that I've had in my life. That sounds crazy. And I almost fell out of my chair the first time I heard someone say that. Stage 4 cancer. Thank you, God, for it. Because now I am a relationship I would have never had before. It opened my eyes. This affliction caused your word to come alive in my life. I would never wish stage 4 cancer on myself or anybody else. That's the paradox of the whole thing. We don't wish pain on each other, and we don't necessarily pray for it either. We're not encouraging you to do that. But when God decides to allow things in our life, to permit things in our life, we desire to hear from him more clearly. Our ears are tuned. One of the old preachers from old, I can't remember who it was, but said that, you know, God speaks to us in our life, and it's like whispers and this, but the mega boom is pain. The mega boom where we really hear God clearly is pain. One of those preachers from the 1800s. The proud have had me in great derision, yet I have not declined from thy law. Here it comes. Are you going to be the seed on shallow soil? When trouble comes, your brother rolls down the stairs on the wheelchair. Is it going to be that? When your brother's in the hospital? When divorce comes? When it didn't work out, the house didn't work out like you thought it would, and something went wrong. Someone gyps you. Someone stabs you in the back. Do you decline? Do you apostate? Do you start to shrink back? No, shrink up. Spiral up. Don't spiral down. You may be going in circles because of the derision. There might be confusion. That's normal human stuff. But man, spiral up. Woman, spiral up, not down. Don't decline. Don't decline from God's word. I remember thy judgments of old, O Lord. I have comforted myself. Horror has taken a hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. Thy statutes, his word, has been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. My life story is a song. Beautiful. I have remembered thy name, O Lord. In the night have I kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy precepts. Folks, this was written before Christ was even born, before God sent him, his son, to this earth. These things were written. The word of God was being revealed to humanity. And there's nothing new under the sun. This is the plague of humanity. This is the reality of humanity, that we're in a place where there's two kingdoms at war. Daddy read about it, and that's actually a term of war, where the spirit and the flesh are entrenched against one another. And that the front lines of that war isn't, you know, on CNN, and it isn't the Democrats and the Republicans. It's right here. It's right here. It's right here. It's the flesh and the spirit, and it's the word of God, the living word, the powerful word of God that separates that, what's soul and what's spirit. It's the word of God. Those two kingdoms collide right there in the Christian, not the unbeliever. He's already in the camp of the enemy. Right here, the two worlds collide, and we are encouraged to walk in the spirit, not in the flesh. Why? Because those two worlds are colliding right on you, man. We should love each other. That's quite a reality for the mere Christian. You've got two kingdoms at war inside of you. Greater is he that's in you than that is in the world, though. Never is it like, well, the kingdom of Satan's winning today. There's no excuse for that because God is always stronger. It's who you yield to, what strength you yield to, isn't it? It's all about yielding. God has given you the free will to do that continually, to yield to him or to the devil and the darkness. Is the next letter? You've heard the Hebrews say that. I had a French teacher who tried so desperately to get me to do that guttural roll thing. He was turning red. He was so mad at me, and I couldn't do it. But it sounds like you're clearing your throat. So they don't ever have to clear their throat. They just have it in their language. It's built right in, very efficient. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me. Remember, God wants to rob you. Satan wants to rob you. But I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. At midnight I will rise to give thanks. Hey, try it. Instead of getting mad, which will you do 98% of the time in the night when you get woken up by something you can't get, but it's like, all right, you get mad. Hey, just one time do it. Just praise the Lord. Just do it. Just be crazy and do it. Just thank the Lord. You should be mad. You got to work tomorrow, and you have a million reasons to get mad and kick the wall or do whatever you got to do. Just one time, please, do this. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. Lord God, thank you for quickening me. Thank you for the very word that causes me to live and breathe and have my being. I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. I hang out with people that want to love you and follow you, Lord God. That's who I want to gather with. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. Last letter is tough, T, a tough sound. Thou hast dealt well with my servant, O Lord, according to thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. What's the condition of this person? Astray before affliction. What caused, what was the road to tiller? Affliction. We see that different allusions to what that might have been. Princes did sit and speak against me. Bosses, that kind of thing. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word. Man, doesn't that, when somebody stabs you in the back and says something, it's like this dark cloud is over you. It's like, okay, I'm done with you. That dark cloud is not going to follow me around all day long. It is not going to spoil my relationship with God. I'm not going to allow that dark cloud for 1 minute in my life because of some person that didn't even think about what they were saying. It said something hurtful. And there you are for 2, 3 days, weeks with this dark cloud that we gave them power to put in our life. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Somebody walking around with dark cloud over their head. But now I have kept thy word. Cloud breaking up, the light coming through. Thou art good and does good. Thou art good and does good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. It doesn't matter what man says. It doesn't matter what man does. I will keep your precepts, your word, with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in the law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. There it is. Underline it. Highlight it in yellow, pink, green, red, orange. Put it in highlights. There it is, folks. I'm not crazy. I'm not a masochist. I'm not up here telling you something weird. There it is. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. You've heard about the prosperity teaching out there in the church today. They might have to erase this one out of the scripture and in many other places. And it tells us in the New Testament, if you're following Jesus Christ, you will have tribulation. You will have these afflictions in your life. And you're like, oh man, I hope it's just minimum. Wait a minute. These are the opportunities These are the opportunities. It's a good thing for me. It's going to happen. I might as well make the best of it. I'm going to make the best of it. I'm going to allow the seeds of God to come and spring to life in me. It is good for me. It is good for me. It is good for me to be going through this. I'm so mad at them. And then, it is good for me. It is good for me. I can't believe what they said. It is good for me. It is good for me. Man, this thing hurts. It is good for me. It is good for me. God, teach me. Let me hear you now, Lord Jesus Christ. Lord God, may this be the time that I really hear you, Lord. Drop down on me, Lord God, those sweet drips of honey that I need to hear your voice, that I might learn your word. Thy law of your mouth, in verse 72, is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Lord God, you can keep the material things. Those are the blessings that the carnal Christian or the world thinks is a blessing. Man, you got blessed. Gold and silver, there it is. What does the mere Christian really want? Affliction, that I might hear thy word, that I might hear God speak to me. I want to hear God speak to me. I want to hear God. That's the blessing. That's the gemel today. I want to hear God. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Next week we will do the yod, the why. You might say jod there in your scripture. There was no J there. We'll talk about how J got into Jesus and some of that next week. A few testimonies as we close today about how the word of God became alive to you. I'll start with a simple one, and maybe it'll provoke you. If you have one, I would encourage that to be shared this morning. One was just a cute one with Asher dealing with fear that we were on a tractor, and there were some berries that were in the woods. I might have told the story before. And he's in the back of the wagon with a couple of his cousins. And I'm saying, hey, we're going to go in the woods. We're going to get some berries. All he heard was bear. And you might have heard that this one before, but that was like he turned like something happened, and I look back as I'm going into the woods, and like something's wrong with Asher, you know. And that was a time, there was a teaching opportunity, there was an affliction, deal with fear. And the real truth of the matter is, and why it applies here, is that you know, while it seemed like a fearful thing, it seemed like an affliction, it was really something. There was fruit. There was fruit that was at the end of the trail. There was fruit in this dark place, in this place of weeds and prickers and everything else that seemed like a fearful place. There was fruit there. There was a destiny. There was a B for going from point A to B. Don't be afraid to go after the way of God. Does anybody have a testimony this morning they'd like to share? How the word of God was quickened to you?
Call to go down. Whole brother out of sin, of darkness, you all know that story. You go down to me, and as I'm traveling, I'm in the car, and I'm praying, God, give me some sort of whipping spoon, give me some lasso, give me something to really pull him out of here, give me something to straighten him out, and give me something, you know, I'm asking, what kind of rod do I, you know, what wallet him with, you know, and as I'm thinking that, I'm like, man, I'm getting nothing, and just, it was, I'm not even sure if it was a song or it just popped in my head, the verse, but if you find a brother fallen into sin, overtaken by sin, those that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. That meekness, it just broke me. You know, I'm there, I'm driving, I'm just crying, really understanding what God's called me to do. I put down my carnal weapons, you know, my fleshly words that I had that was really just going to cause death. And the word of God speaking to me brought me to a place of understanding what he's called me to do. Meekness.
Beautiful. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else this morning?
One time when I was a new Christian, it was late at night, it was dark. I had to park my car in a parking lot and walk out in the dark alone, and this fear just came at me. I mean, I could have just reached out and grabbed it. It was so palpable. It was just right there. And thank God, the scripture popped in my mind, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And as soon as I heard that and said it, that whole fear thing just
Amen. Praise God.
And it was just so powerful for me. The word of God is
It is powerful. Amen. It is. Yeah. There'll be more opportunity next week to share those testimonies. We'll bring this topic up again as we talk about Yod because it's mentioned in there. So there'll be more opportunity to share that, share testimony in Psalm 119. But just as Dottie was sharing, there's a power, and Maddie sensed it as well. His tears were flowing. Something was happening inside of him. The word of God is dropping down in. And you have responses to that physically. And it's a beautiful thing. In a transition in the past from one church to another, there was a lot of animosity towards myself, mostly myself, a little bit towards Gretchen, and stuff that was being said all over the place. People that even at work were telling me, I heard this from this person, and I didn't even, that I know that you knew from church or something. And it was like, wow, man, it's just like, there were so many knives in the back, and it just felt like I was clinging to the dust kind of feeling. And instead of going in the path of anger, God gave me a word, because I'm just as evil as anybody else. There wasn't anything like a rise up in righteousness, and it's like, I'm right, and you guys are, there was none of, God wasn't on that. He was like, no, you're just as bad as they are. That's the truth. But this is what I want you to know. It's better to be wrong. It's better to be wrong than take your brother to court. It was that verse. And better to make that case and show how right you are, because you ain't. It's better to be wrong. And just like you said, it just like all that structure of pain and hurt just collapsed, like a building collapsing. Everything that had built up, that I had built and hammered together of hurt and pain, this is my building of pain. Look at what they did to me. Just come busting down and flush through. And my heart was enlarged to love. It's true. It's all of this is true. This truth makes us free. It's powerful. And whether it's your testimony or as Daddy shared about a rock last week in Owasco Lake, there's clouds of witnesses from all over the place in the scripture. From modern times, there's clouds of witnesses of people that have had the experience of God's word coming alive in their life, being delivered, knowing what it means to be truly a creature of God, a child of God, living from his very word, every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for being in our midst today, Lord God, for being our good shepherd, showing us the way how to follow, Lord. When those forks come in our path this week and maybe even today, Lord, I pray for that discernment to take the right path, to take the path, Lord Jesus Christ, is it the one that you would have us, not asking questions about what might be, not asking questions, Lord, what might happen, but simply choosing that path that's right. You lead us on paths of righteousness for your name's sake, Lord God. We're going to follow you, Lord Jesus, this week. We are your disciples, Lord God. We're learning. We're yearning, God. We're desiring. Lord Jesus, I'm excited about this year. I'm excited. All things are possible, Lord Jesus Christ, with you. Things can bust an open wide, Lord God, for this community, for this nation even, for us, Lord God. Our hearts can become larger, Lord God, to receive and to love. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for calling us your people, Lord God, a peculiar people set apart, sanctified by your truth. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.